I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Because there are stats now that do back up Cunningham's impact as an inside linebacker in the run game. And I think it's Pro Football Focus that has a stat. I think it's called either run stuffs or run stops.
It's meaningful stops. Like if it's first and 10, you stop them for 3 yards or less.
Because
a lot of times linebackers, this is why I don't care about total numbers. Sometimes linebackers on bad defenses have a whole bunch of tackles for like a 6 yard gain.
Yeah.
And that doesn't tell you anything. Cunningham genuinely makes meaningful stops.
Yes.
So whether he was leading the team in leading the league in tackles or like 10th in the league in tackles, I don't care about that. I care about meaningful stops. And yes, he is very, very good against the run. But what makes you a top linebacker these days is not the work you do versus the run. It's how good are you in the passing game.
Yeah. So he's got to improve there. But Cunningham did meet with the media yesterday, was asked about being one of the highest paid linebackers in the league.
For me, it's just amazing to be in this position. I have a lot of people to thank for that. You know, the McNair family, you know, they have their trust and support in me. And, you know, of course, Coach O'Brien, Jack Easterby, athletes first, Kyle McCarthy, my agent, who, you know, helped to hammer the deal down. My family, everyone else that, you know, helped to get me here. So it's definitely a big experience for me. I know a lot of people have helped me to get to this point.
Ooh, it's been a good 24 hours for Kyle McCarthy of Athletes First. Several shout outs along the way. Bill O'Brien yesterday, and now Zach Cunningham today.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Kyle
McCarthy. Hire Kyle McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not? He's getting deals done.
I was awful in pass coverage, too. Maybe he'll,
Did you ever have to drop like a zone blitz and drop into coverage?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually did it versus the Eagles 1 year. I can't remember who the running back was at the time. I was doing a pretty good job of it, and then McNabb pulled the ball down and started to run. So I left my man, and of course, you know, he caught a pass for like 7 or 8 yards.
Did you or did you not tap the top of your helmet after that play?
Because I was ashamed of myself. Yeah, I needed a sub. I got to tap my head after the first play of the game, I guess. I'm not sitting here like crushing Zach Cunningham or anything.
Yeah.
I'm saying, for those of you who think that he's like the best inside linebacker in the league, he's not. He's physically capable of being there and getting there. I think he has very rare physical traits and skills. He just needs to keep getting better, as he's done. I think that's why I'm confident that he's gonna take a leap forward this year. And it was a smart contract to give out. The other thing that O'Brien said yesterday that was interesting was he kind of just casually dropped what we already knew, which was, look, if it happens in October and November with some of these guys, we'll reward them then. I think O'Brien has a much more adjustable expectation for, like, either giving new contracts or renegotiated contracts or asking guys to take pay cuts or doling out contracts mid-season, as opposed to Rick Smith, who never wanted to redo deals during the season.
Yeah, no, O'Brien's a lot more flexible, and he ain't afraid to ask if they're willing to take some money back for the for the good of the team. So
squad.
I was thinking about, someone who may have a conversation like that in the next year or so is Bernardrick McKinney. Because, Seth, I think it's going to be awfully hard for them to keep Bernardrick McKinney, Zach Cunningham. I'll throw Whitney Mercilus in there, too, since they're all linebackers. You've got three linebackers. I don't know that there's another team in football that has three linebackers that are all making over $10 million a year on average on their deals, and none of whom are really perennial Pro Bowlers. You know, Whitney's never made a Pro Bowl. Zach Cunningham's never made a Pro Bowl. Bernardrick McKinney's made one Pro Bowl. It was 2 years ago. None of them are elite players at their position. I think Cunningham's got the most potential to be an elite player at his position. I think Whitney and Bernardrick are what they are at this point. But that's especially if Deshaun gets his deal, there's going to be either some tough conversations or some tough roster decisions to make with that linebacking group next year.
I think with Bernardrick, the thing is he's so dependable. If you're looking at dependable, tough, smart, I think from an injury standpoint, from a every week put out standpoint, he's the kind of guy you want on a football team, whether you're Bill O'Brien or anybody else. And I think if they want to redo his deal at any point, it'll be the classic, not pay cut per se, but hey, you're going to make less money, but we're going to guarantee more of it.
Okay.
Like, I'd feel comfortable. I would feel comfortable with any amount of guaranteed salary they gave Bernardrick McKinney, like, as long as it's reducing his cap figure, because I feel like, yeah, that guy's going to show up and work no matter what.
Yeah,
I don't think he doesn't need as much of a carrot on a stick as some guys do.
Yeah, I guess the first injury I can really think of him having, he got the concussion late last season, if you remember, in one of the, it might have been the Tennessee game. He was out a couple weeks with a concussion towards the end of the year, but by and large, you're right, he's been pretty durable. It got me thinking, too, with McKinney. I'm like, he's been a Pro Bowler. Brian Cushing was a Pro Bowler early in his career. D'Amico Ryans before that made a couple of Pro Bowls, and I'm thinking, man, what's the it's a short history of the team, but I'm thinking, man, is inside linebacker the best position just in terms of the lineage, where, you know, Ryans kind of begat Cushing, which begat McKinney, which begat Cunningham? Like, I would say wide receiver and inside linebacker are the two positions where there's always been, maybe Marquis is a little strong for what Cushing and McKinney and Cunningham are, but they're all guys who've made, other than Cunningham, all guys who've made Pro Bowls.
Yeah.
Is inside linebacker the best position, or is it receiver just on the strength of the fact you might have two Hall of Famers at that position?
I would say it would have to be receiver, because I think if you're throwing in guys, let's see. I mean, like, Kevin Walter, for what he meant for that scheme compared to some of the guys who have been second, let's see, like the second best or third best inside linebacker. I don't know. Let's see. Inside linebacker, when Cushing and D'Amico Ryans were both very good, that was a pretty damn stalwart group.
Yeah.
And the one you have right now, I think that, again, they're very good, but they've been very weak in pass coverage over the middle. I can't ignore that. I can't ignore how that hurts the defense. Another thing I would remind people, to the people that think that Cunningham should have been All-Pro last year, the Texans were a bad defense.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, if they're a good defense, yes, the accolades will come, but they were a bad defense. And especially at key positions like inside linebacker in a 3-4, you're not going to get that notoriety or attention unless you're actually a genuinely good defense for the most part, or unless you've established yourself already.
I would say that the position groups that are in the conversation for ones, and, you know, granted, the Texans' history over 20 years has not been a great history. You know, the ceiling has been divisional round of the playoffs, but that's the ecosystem that we're operating in. I would say the two lines, offensive line and defensive line, like the defensive line, J.J. Watt's a future Hall of Famer. Antonio Smith was really solid for a number of years. You played with Gary Walker. He was a Pro Bowler early on for this team. Mario Williams made a couple of Pro Bowls. And you played on the defensive line, so you know better than anybody, at least early on, and you can evaluate it better than anybody else. I think defensive line might even be better than what the inside linebackers have been for this team. I think it's in the conversation with wide receivers when you throw the fact that J.J. Watt's in that group.
Yeah, it might be the most consistent, despite like the fluctuations up and down. I feel like the defensive line hasn't gone too long at any given moment without having a pretty good player on there.
Yeah.
Now, Gary, the injuries hurt him because he missed a couple of seasons, or at least partial seasons there. But then you transitioned into J.J. Watt and Antonio Smith. Antonio Smith may be one of the most underrated Texans in Texans history because he played alongside J.J. Watt. Yeah, I might have to go with defensive line.
Yeah, it's a good group. Seth Payne was in there as well.
Another underrated.
You got that right, son.
Injury issues, though.
You got that right.
The cornerback group, and this would be a hot button issue because I know there's some people that are, they're just determined that Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson always sucked, and all like there are people listening right now who think I'm insane for ever thinking that Kareem Jackson and Jonathan Joseph were good together for a good stretch of time.
Yeah.
And yet there we have it.
Yeah.
I would say, let's see.
Cornerback, you got Joseph, Aaron Glenn, Dante Robinson, Kareem Jackson. Those are probably the four best corners in franchise history, I would
say. Yeah. I'm still, okay, so far, though, the defensive line versus inside linebackers, I'm going to say, okay, if I'm looking at Watt Antonio Smith, Gary Walker, and Mario Williams, how do they stack up? Like, where do they rank in the league compared to Bernardrick McKinney, Zach Cunningham, D'Amico Ryans, and Brian Cushing? I got to go with the defensive line
there.
Yeah, the defensive line is just simply better.
Defensive line's better. I mean, JJ practically alone makes that. I mean, you have a Hall of Famer in that group. You got to be really bad with the rest of the group to not be ahead of the inside linebackers.
So you're telling me that Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins are the only wide receivers who made the Pro Bowl for wide receiver reasons? I know Jerome Mathis made it as a kickoff returner.
He did.
But those are the only two wide receivers
to make the Pro Bowl for the Texans.
Yeah.
Who else would have made it for that? I mean, you got to be one of the top three or four in the conference to make it. I don't know.
Well, the Pro Bowl's a little okay. You're talking first team Pro Bowl. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just talking Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Well, no, but you're talking first team also, right?
I'm just saying make the Pro Bowl, which means you're one of the...
Yeah, that's right. It's not that hard to make... I mean, it's hard, but it's not that hard to make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, I guess I'm saying, like, I mean, was Kevin Walter anywhere close to one of the four best wide receivers in the AFC ever?
Okay, well, you're saying four best. Like, the Pro Bowl isn't always the who are the four best. Sometimes guys just sneak in there because you're on a really good team or
something.
Yeah,
but you got to put up numbers. And that was, you know, Gary Kubiak for all those years was not an offense that was conducive to wide receivers putting up massive numbers with as much as they ran the football.
Yeah. So with the offensive line, you've got Dwayne Brown, Chris Myers, Wade Smith, and Laramie Tunsil.
Those are all the guys who've made the Pro Bowl on the offensive line.
How do I stack them up to the defensive line?
D-line's better.
Yeah, I still say the D-line is better.
D-line's better, yeah. How about this? They've never had a safety make the Pro Bowl, the Texans. Glover Quinn
made...
Which
is weird because Glover Quinn went on to make it a few times with the Lions.
With the Lions, yeah, he sure did, yeah.
With Daniel Manning never made it as a safety. That surprised me just especially because when the defense was so good, I think he was, you know, he made some big plays.
When that defense was humming, he was always in the middle of things. Daniel Manning was a good player. Now, Justin Reed has not made a Pro Bowl, but it got easier this week with Derwin James going out for the year.
I don't mean
to sit here and bask in the glow of somebody else's misfortune, but with Jamal Adams going to the NFC and with Derwin James getting injured, it got easier for Justin Reed to make the Pro Bowl. And I like that because I like Justin Reed.
The Chargers are so weird. I feel like the Chargers are a rich man's version of the Cleveland Browns, where you feel like the Cleveland Browns are hexed somehow and everything bad always happens to them. The Chargers, a lot of bad stuff happens to them, and yet they're very competitive every year.
Yep.
And so, and they're in a better city. I mean, like I would say, well, San Diego, 100% better than Cleveland. L.A., I guess you could try to make an argument about the types of people in L.A. versus the types of people
better than
in Cleveland.
Seth.
A lot less, yeah.
Where are you going on vacation, L.A. or Cleveland?
I'm thinking the classic, like, okay, the classic Cleveland person, Drew Carey, versus the classic L.A. person, like one of the Kardashians.
Yeah, any Instagram model.
Yeah, but who would you rather have a beer with? I'd rather have a beer with Drew Carey than with one of the Kardashians. Okay, I take that back.
I'd rather have a beer with Drew Carey, but there's about 800 other things I'd rather do with the people in L.A. than with the people in Cleveland.
Hey, if we're talking about the bedroom, Drew Carey's going to work a lot harder, okay? He's got something to prove.
I feel like he's gotten complacent since he got the Price is Right gig.
I'm talking about a young Drew Carey.
Oh, okay, yeah, back in the day.
Plus, Drew Carey is a Marine, so who do you want in a fist fight with you? You want Khloe Kardashian? That's what I saw on the internet. I don't know.
I also heard Mr. Rogers had like 50 kills in Vietnam or something like that.
Can't you see Drew Carey being a Marine with those glasses? Because he wears, you know, in the military, they got to wear those dark glasses that are like more durable.
Purely based on his eyewear, I could see Drew Carey
Hold on a second. He served in the Marines.
Okay.
He began performing stand-up comedy that eventually led to supporting roles on television.
Interesting career arc for Drew Carey.
By the way, that was like, how about that write-up? That was on military.com. Could you make an interesting story any more boring than that?
No kidding.
Like you read it out of a government printed manual.
It's as military as the narrative, as the story gets. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Download the radio.com app. If you're just getting up at 6:49, you could rewind to the beginning of the show. We encourage you to download the app. Seth, with Zach Cunningham's contract getting done over the last couple days, naturally attention turns to Deshaun Watson's contract. Of course, Bill O'Brien had to be asked about it yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
Look, obviously, you know, we feel good about where we're at as a team. We feel like we have a lot of, like I said earlier, we've got a lot of dependable, tough, smart guys, and you know, they get along well, and they want to be here. Houston's a great city. They want to live here. And they want to represent this city. You know, like I've said all along, I don't really want to get into specific, you know, contract talks, but quite obviously we want Deshaun Watson to be here for a long time. He's had a great training camp. He's a great player, and we're going to work hard to get that done.
Do you think that if the deal doesn't get done before the season, people are going to be hand-wringing over this? And if so, is it warranted? If Deshaun Watson's contract extension does not get done before the kickoff of the Kansas City game, and especially potentially the day after the Kansas City game, where, look, the Texans are a 10-point underdog going into that game, how big a topic is Deshaun Watson's contract extension going to be come the end of next week if it's not done yet?
I think the longer that it doesn't happen, all it does is it puts more pressure on Bill O'Brien, because I think the perception would be, okay, there's something holding Deshaun back from doing this. Is it the money? Okay, if so, then that's Bill O'Brien's fault. Or is it the situation? Okay, if so, it's Bill O'Brien's fault.
Right.
And, I mean, that'll be the court of public opinion. Bill O'Brien, I think, is pretty well established that he's not going to be swayed by the court of public opinion. But will Cal McNair be swayed by the court of public opinion?
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't be freaking out at it, but look, out about it. But we've seen what's going on in Dallas. We saw what happened with Kirk Cousins in Washington. There's plenty of precedent now for guys forcing themselves out of a situation in the NFL. And if it got to the point where it felt like Deshaun was doing that, then, yeah, people will start feeling that way. I feel the moment you're at DEFCON 1 would be August of next season.
Yeah. Yeah, when you say force your way out of it, like you bring up Dak and Kirk Cousins. That's interesting that you put it that way, because – I don't feel like Dak is doing that. I just feel like the two sides can't agree on money. Kirk Cousins, I don't think, wanted to be in Washington. So if we're making Deshaun's situation potentially analogous to that, boy, I would hate to think that Deshaun thinks of the Texans the same way that anybody would think of the Washington football team.
I know.
Right?
At the time, yeah. Quick update on marine glasses. Those dark-rimmed, you know, ones?
Yeah, yeah.
Two things. One, one of our Marines texts in and says they're called BCs because they're like birth control because they're so ugly. The other one is that Drew Carey was one of the Marines that were at the Tehran embassy when it was invaded in 1979. So
wow.
He's not just a Marine. He's like a Marine that's seen hardcore action.
Yeah, he's seen some combat. There you go. All right. Now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
All right. Again, download that radio.com app. Do it now, and you will be able to take the station with you wherever you go, and you can rewind, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's as soon as I leave the studio, it's what I do. When I make my long walks, I've got the radio.com app so I can listen to In the Loop in the afternoon show here on Sports Radio 610. If the Rockets lose on Wednesday, oh, God, please don't let that happen. What are we talking about on Thursday? It's a wide range of things it could be, and we'll dig into it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.